Well, good afternoon, everyone. Certainly is a nice to see the rain. I know anyone, as John had mentioned, who earns a living off the land greatly appreciates the moisture that God provides, sometimes in due season and sometimes out of season. We never know what to expect, and especially this past basically the last 30 days, the weather's just been remarkable. We are talking March, and we're talking June weather. Just amazing. It's beautiful, though. And I wanted to comment, I really appreciate that song. Because coming in this morning, if you all took notice, we are in the spring of the season of the year. And the flowers, and the trees, and the shrubs, and the grass is in its full magnitude of beauty. It's truly a blessing this time of the year as we approach the spring holiday season. It is a time of rejoicing. It is a time to enjoy what God does provide for His people and for all mankind. Did you see the magnolia trees? Wow, they were awesome. Truly awesome in color. And of course, the forsythia bushes and their colors. All the flower arrangements that we saw as we were driving through. I just said to Linda about the green grass. Green is my favorite color, so I was taking a lot of joy today in looking at the wonderful, beautiful landscape that God does provide for us. And you know, it's interesting because it's a regeneration, a renewing as we start the spring season, and God does the same for us. It's a time of renewing. It's a time of rejoicing. It's a time of blessing. Now today I want to talk about seven ways that we can prepare for the days of Passover and the days of unleavened bread. Now you're saying seven? I thought I only had to do a few. Well, these seven points that I'm going to give you are very basic points. Most of us know them by heart. But it's very important as we kind of prepare for the days of unleavened bread that we think about these seven points and things that God wants us to do and prepare as we get ready for the Passover and the days of unleavened bread. Now I mentioned there's seven basic points. The first point is we're told to remove the physical leaven. Point number one, remove the physical leaven. Now we can read about that over in the book of Exodus, and if you will turn there, Exodus chapter 12. We're going to read a little bit from the Old Testament to begin, because the Old emphasizes the New. In Exodus chapter 12, we'll look at verse 14. And here we're told in Exodus 12, verse 14, "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." Now the point I want to emphasize here is we're supposed to keep these days that God emphasizes forever. And they will be kept in the kingdom of God as well. So it's forever. It's not just a generation of Old Testament that was supposed to keep these days, the Passover and the days of unleavened bread, but it's for all generations, it says. Throughout your generations, you shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Now what are we supposed to do? Verse 15. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven. So that I mentioned, remove the physical leaven. Okay, so we're supposed to put away leaven out of our houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the 20th day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. So it's something we have to take very seriously. We just can't go about it haphazardly and just saying, well, I got most of the physical leaven out, but some of it I missed. So it is a very important personal time. And you realize we got less than 2 weeks. Now, if you have a large house, which I used to, it took a while to do. But now we're down to a small house, so it won't take as long. And, of course, Linda and I are preparing to do that. But less than 2 weeks. So, brethren, we got a lot of things to prepare for. And starting with the removal of the leaven in our homes, God commands us to do so. So, that's a major undertaking. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. We understand what our responsibilities are in reference to putting leaven out of our homes. It's a vital necessary. And it says take the leaven from out of our homes. And so we have to take that seriously. We have to remove the physical leaven from our physical homes. And in the process, as we're taking the physical leaven out of our home, we go to point number two. Point number two, we're told to examine ourselves and remove the spiritual leaven that may be within our lives. So again, we go from the physical now to the spiritual leaven that could be dwelling within our lives. We have to take that very seriously. We have to examine ourselves and see where we may be falling short. Now, nobody wants to look at themselves and say, boy, I'm a sinner. But God says we're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. But out of His mercy and His love and His compassion, He forgives us of our sins. And so as we remove the spiritual leaven from our lives, it's an opportunity as we physically remove, we can also spiritually remove the leaven. Let's look at Romans first. Romans chapter 6. And let's look at verse 12. Now, as we're looking and examining ourselves, we should be studying the Bible as well with that and seeing ways that we need to put, as we examine the spiritual leaven out of our lives. It says in chapter 6 of Romans, verse 12, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it to the lust thereof." So God doesn't want us to continue to dwell in sin. As we learn from the days of unleavened bread, as we put the leaven, which shows and pictures sin, that puffs up. And you think about it. That's a wonderful analogy that God emphasizes here in His Word, in the Bible. Sin is like leaven. It puffs up. Vanity, self-centeredness, greed, all the different sins you can think about. As we examine ourselves, we have to look at ourselves and say, do I have these characteristics? Am I puffed up? Am I vain? If you can say yes, then there's things to work on. But hopefully, as we're growing from year by year and we keep the Passover and the days of unleavened bread, hopefully the leaven, the spiritual leaven in our lives is less and less and less. Okay, we should be growing spiritually and overcoming the physical as well as the spiritual leaven in our lives. And so hopefully when we do come to examine ourselves and we do look and say, do I have spiritual leaven in my life? We can say, not as much this year as I did maybe last year. And that's encouraging news. I want to encourage all of you. Hopefully you can see in your life spiritual growth and that the spiritual leaven is becoming less and less. Let's look at Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, and we'll look at verse 9. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 9. Now after that we have known God, and again, the emphasis, we've come to know God, or rather have known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements, therefore you desire again to be in bondage. We don't want to go back into bondage. As ancient Israel was taken out of Egypt, which pictures the Passover in the Old Testament, we want to come away from that. We want to come away from bondage, and we want to go forward. We want to move forward, and that's part of examining ourselves. What is it that we got to remove and take out of our lives if we have spiritual leaven in our lives? And that's a personal situation that each and every one of us has to examine and evaluate. None of us can look at each other and criticize or condemn and judge. Only God can do that. He knows the hearts of each and every one of us, and He knows what there is in our lives. And we can't hide anything from God. If we think we can hide from God, we're only fooling ourselves, and we'll be embarrassed when it comes to the judgment time. But brethren, this is the times that we need to work on ourselves. As God says, examine ourselves. It's a wonderful blessing to know what God expects of His people. As we prepare for the Spring Holy Days, He expects us to examine ourselves. and see if there's any spiritual leaven in our lives. And so point number two, removing the spiritual leaven is vitally important and one of the major steps that we need to do as we prepare for the Passover in the days of unleavened bread. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 5. You know where I'm going. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. Oops, sorry about that. I have a tendency to move around a lot, so if I'm bumping things, please forgive me. Here again, in reference to spiritual leavening, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, let's start in verse 6. I'm going to start in verse 6. It says, "Your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leavens the lump, the whole lump?" So again, God emphasizes, if we think we're better than others or our glorying is for ourselves, vanity, self-centeredness, that's not good. That's not what God's looking for. Let's look at verse 7. We continue. "Purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump." And so we got to examine ourselves and see where we have leaven, spiritual leaven in our lives, and remove it from our lives. That is what God wants us to do as we prepare for the Passover in the days of unleavened bread. It's a big responsibility again. Point number two is a very vital and a very big personal responsibility for each and every one of us. Brethren, take it very seriously. God expects us to purge out the old leaven or spiritual sins in our lives. Hopefully, like I said, as we approach the Holy Day season, we can be encouraged and say that we put out the leaven year by year, and eventually it'll be less and less in our lives. But the Bible does warn us that if we're not careful, it can fall and creep back into our lives. And so that's why we examine every year. God is, out of his wonderful knowledge and understanding of man, he knows that we're weak and frail. And he knows that we can fall back into our worldly sinful ways if we're not careful. And so that's why every year we examine ourselves, see where we may slip back if we do. And hopefully not. But if we do, God is merciful, he's very loving, and he's very kind and very patient. And I emphasize the word patient. He's very patient with us. Very, very patient. We can get upset ourselves very easily. But out of God's love and patience and kind and mercy, love towards us, he's willing to patiently wait for us as we examine ourselves and see what we need to change and overcome. Point number three. Once we understand what our spiritual leaven is in our lives, if we have any, and we all do, we have some. Some may have more, some may have less. Again, it's not a judgment matter of individuals judging one another, it's an individual judging themselves, looking at themselves and see what we need to. We need to repent of any spiritual leaven that is in us or sins. Let's look at Romans 8. The point number three is repent of any spiritual sins that you may have. So it's not just a matter of knowing what they are, but a matter of repenting of them. Romans chapter 8, verse 13. "For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live." The emphasis is, "For as many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Again, very encouraging. If we know we have a problem with a sin, we have to repent of it. And if we repent of it, we shall live. But we also have the opposite effect. If we don't repent of our sins, we should die. It says very simple, we shall die if we don't repent of our sins. Let's look at James 1. James chapter 1. Now people sometimes look at this scripture, and it can be used for a lot of different purposes. I'm going to emphasize here in reference to repenting of our sins. James 1 verse 27, it says, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widow in their afflictions, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." Very important that we do emphasize pure religion and undefiled before God is to visit the widows, the fatherless, and those afflicted, those that are sick. But it doesn't stop there. The emphasis also continues to keep himself unspotted. So, brethren, we got to put out any sins that we may have, and then we have to repent of those sins. And that's how we become unspotted from the world, by repenting and changing and overcoming. Matthew 26. Let's look at verse 41. I emphasize that God knows our frailness. He knows our weaknesses. He knows what we struggle with on a day-to-day basis. And Satan does too. So it's not like we have easy going. That we have God up there forgiving us, but we also have Satan out here tempting us. So we're being pulled in two different directions sometimes. And in verse 41 it says, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation." And that is Satan on his sideline, pulling it. Sometimes it's almost like a rodeo where rope gets pushed out and Satan puts the rope over us and he pulls us and he jerks us towards temptation, trying to get us to sin and fall into temptation. And Satan will use his clever devices. He knows our weaknesses. And so that's something that we really struggle with sometimes, temptation. It says the spirit indeed is willing. We try to resist many times, but sometimes it says, but the flesh is weak. And God knows that. He knows that sometimes we physically are weak. And that's why the Spring Holy Days is that time for examining ourselves and repenting of any spiritual sins that we have to do. I want to read you a story. I probably read this once before, I think, in a sermon, but I love this story because it reminds me of my youth. Now you're going to chuckle when I say that. It's called Nail in the Fence. Some of you probably remember it. Nail in the Fence. There once was a little boy who had a bad temper. His father gave him a bag of nails and told him that every time he lost his temper, he must hammer a nail into the back of the fence. The first day, the boy nailed 37 nails into the fence. Over the next few weeks, he learned that he had to learn to control his anger. The number of nails daily gradually dwindled down, and he discovered it was easy to hold his temper than to drive those nails into the fence. And that is so true. Finally, the day came when the boy didn't lose his temper at all. So he was growing. He was developing. He was putting his sin, if you want to term it, behind him. He was overcoming. He told his father about it, and his father suggested that the boy now pull one nail out of the fence for each day that he was able to hold his temper. So he was given a little bit more responsibility now. Okay, now you've got your temper under control. Now I want you to take a nail out of the fence for every day that you hold back your temper or your anger. The days passed, and the young boy was finally able to tell his father that all the nails were gone. So he was excited. He finally accomplished all the nails were gone. Then the father took his son by the hand and led him to the fence. He said, "You have done very well, my son. But look at the holes in the fence. The fence will never be the same. And when you say things in anger, they leave a scar just like this one. You can put a knife in a man and draw it out. It won't matter how many times you say I'm sorry." And I appreciate Lee's sermonette because that's true. It doesn't matter sometimes how many times you say you're sorry if you're not truly sorry. The wound's still there. A verbal wound is as bad as a physical one. Friends are very rare, Jewel. And that is so true indeed. They are very rare. Each and every one of you are friends. They make you smile and encourage you to succeed. And we all are encouraging one another. We all want to help each other overcome and repent any personal things we're working with. That's why repentance of spiritual sin is so important this time of the year. And we encourage one another to do that. And God encourages us to do that as well. They lend us an ear. They share words of praise. And they always want to open their hearts to us. That's what friends do. And that's what each and every one of us do for each other. Very encouraging. You are my friends, and I want you to know that. And I am very honored to know each and every one of you. It's a privilege. It's a blessing. Not only as family members, but as friends and close acquaintances. And I want to emphasize, please forgive me if I've ever left a hole in your life. And I do want to emphasize that very strongly. This time of year, as Lee mentioned, we have to forgive one another. If I've ever offended anyone, if I've ever said anything personally to any of you that you have taken personally, and sometimes we never know it. We do stupid things in our lives, and we embarrass individuals, and sometimes they tell us that, you know, you hurt me when you did that, but sometimes they don't. They hold it inside. And we never know we're putting holes in their fence. So I hope that if I've ever, or any one of us ever hurt each other, that we can go, as we're instructed in Matthew, to one another, to tell each other what our problems may be to if we've hurt somebody. And let each and every one of us know that we do care, and we do want each and every one of us to be in the kingdom of God. And so we do need to repent of any spiritual sins, and each and every one of you have an obligation to go to one another if anybody has hurt any of us. Brethren, we're all here together. We're all striving for the same purpose, the kingdom of God. It's a wonderful blessing. But along the way, we do have to repent of sins. And again, we have to examine ourselves and see what those spiritual sins are and encourage one another, help each other. If you're hurt, go to the individual that hurt you and tell them why they hurt you. Don't hold it inside. If you hold it inside, the grudge will always be there, and it will hurt you to the day you die. That's why it's so important that we must tell each other if any of us is hurt or we've done anything to offend one another. God doesn't want any of us to be offended. And that is why repentance of spiritual sins and offense is a spiritual sin. And sometimes we never even knew we did anything. So don't hold back. If you have hurt feelings because of something that I personally may have done or any one of you may have done to one another, go to one another before the Passover. Don't wait till the Passover, the Days of Unleavened Bread, and hoard that inside and then say, well, I've got to tell them now. Do it before. Okay, go before. And do it as soon as possible. Point number four. We have to acknowledge Christ's sacrifice. We have to acknowledge Christ's sacrifice. Our loving God, the great Creator and Sustainer, and His Son, Jesus Christ, were up in heaven preparing the plan for mankind. And they knew that mankind was physical, and they knew that we were frail, and that we would probably sin, which Adam and Eve did. And so there had to be a sacrifice. And Christ was willing to do that. He took the ultimate, if you want to call it, the ultimate challenge in expressing love to one another, to be willing to die for someone. It says, a greater love is no one than to be willing to die for someone. And Jesus Christ loved us even in our own sins. As we slapped him and cut him and marred him, as the Bible talks about all the scars, the stripes, were healed, but we caused a lot of those stripes. We caused a lot of those scars and a lot of the pain through our former ways of living. And so we have to acknowledge Christ's sacrifice. Brethren, let's be truly thankful for the tremendous sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us. Let's look at 1 John 1. First John chapter 1, verse 7. It says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And so we have to acknowledge that sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us, for each and every one of us. And we have to take it internally, personally, and acknowledge Jesus Christ's sacrifice for you and for me individually. It says, he cleansed us from all our sins. And that is how our sins are forgiven. We can't do it ourselves. We struggle physically, I mentioned about, from year to year sometimes. And yet God's mercy and his love and his compassion, he forgives us of our sins. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians 5, And I'm going to go back again. We talked about this a little bit earlier. But I want to emphasize the latter part of chapter 5, verse 7. It says, "For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." That's the latter part of verse 7, chapter 5. Yes, we're supposed to purge out the old leaven, but Christ became our Passover, and he sacrificed for us. And so we have to acknowledge that and tell God how much you appreciate that. That's a personal opportunity for each and every one of us to let him know how much we do truly care and acknowledge that Jesus Christ was willing to do that. It's a wonderful blessing to know that we have an individual who is willing to sacrifice for each and every one of us and remove the sins out of our lives. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. And we'll look at verse 11. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. "But Christ being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacles, not made with hands, but that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood." Jesus Christ sacrificed himself by his own blood. "He entered it once to the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled the unclean, sanctifying to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot," and he was spotless. He didn't have sin, but he was willing to take our place. Technically, if you want to think about it, we should be up there on the stake for our sins, not Christ. But he said that he would do it, and he did. He purged from conscience, from dead works, to serve the living God. So, brethren, again, we need to acknowledge the great sacrifice. And as we prepare for the days ahead, the Passover and the days of unleavened bread, we need to tell Jesus Christ and God the Father how much we fully understand and acknowledge the sacrifice that he made. And not only Christ, but God the Father suffered also in that time. To see his son going through that had to be tremendous pain and sorrow for him as well. Think about it, as a father, when one of your children is hurt, you suffer along with that child. And so God the Father also suffered through the sacrifice that Christ made. But it was a joyous occasion, okay? It's a time of rejoicing to know that our sins have been forgiven because Christ was willing to pay the ultimate price. Now, point number 5, once we acknowledge Christ's sacrifice, we have to accept Christ's sacrifice. It's one thing to acknowledge it and say, yes, Christ sacrificed for me. But we have to accept that personally within ourselves. We have to evaluate ourselves and see personally how Christ's sacrifice affected us personally. And accept the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made. Let's look at Matthew 11. Matthew 11. One of these days, I think I'm going to get a Bible with markers on the outside. I can turn quickly then to the book. I'm in the book, but I'm on the wrong pages. I'm back and forth, but I'll get in there, just like the rest of you joining me. Matthew 11, we'll look at verse 28. Here Christ is saying, "Come unto me, all ye labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek, lowly in the heart, and you shall find rest upon your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So as we acknowledge and accept Christ, we realize that God and Jesus Christ are there for us. The sacrifice was made for us. And we should be willing to accept that sacrifice and thank him and always be thankful this time of the year as we think about, as we prepare for the Passover and the days of unleavened. We must be thankful people. Christ didn't have to do it. It was God the Father and Jesus Christ and the angelic beings long before mankind
And yet out of God's mercy and his love and compassion, he wanted to expand his family. And so he created man. And then when he expanded man and man sinned, sin was forgiven through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And so Christ took the ultimate challenge and he acknowledged that he was willing to do that. And then we have to acknowledge and accept that sacrifice. Just like Christ was willing to do it as well, we have to be willing to accept the sacrifice that he did. Romans 6. Romans chapter 6. We probably have this one memorized. Verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And that's the acceptance that we have. We accept that sin is death. And if we would not repent, one of the requirements that we talked about earlier, and we need to do on the preparation for the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread, we would reap the penalty of death if we did not repent. But because of God's gift, it says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we have to accept it. And I hope that, and I know each and every one of us accepts the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us in God the Father. It's a wonderful blessing. It's hard to see someone suffer. And when we read the scriptures, you can read Isaiah 51 and many of the other scriptures in the Bible that says about how much he suffered. To realize that we did that. We personally did that. And yet, out of God's love, he was willing to do that. What a tremendous sacrifice. And we must accept that sacrifice as part of our life. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, and we'll look at verse 19. It says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, which he was, and without spot. That is what it was. It was a tremendous sacrifice, and we must accept that sacrifice as part of our life, and as a part of our preparation for the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread. Point number 6. Now, as we approach the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread, we have to put on sincerity and truth. And we can read about that over in 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. Therefore, let us keep the feast. And the emphasis is keep the feast. Some people say it's not necessary to keep the days, but Christ kept them. The apostles kept them. The emphasis in the Bible is forever, so we should be keeping them. And it says, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness. And, of course, we have to put out. That's what we did before we came to the Passover. We put out the wickedness, the malice, and the old lump. It says, but with the unleavened bread, which is what we'll be partaking of within the next 7 to 8 days as we prepare with that. It'll be the bread of sincerity and truth. Now, brethren, I want to encourage you, God's word is truth. And so that's what we'll be taking in, the word of truth. God's way of life. And so it's a time of growing. The whole emphasis is moving forward. Okay, we come away from our past, our sinful way of life. We're overcoming, we're working, we're repenting, we're changing, we're growing, and we're moving forward. And that's the whole emphasis, is moving forward in sincerity and truth. God's true way of life. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1 again. First Peter chapter 1, and we'll look at verse 13. First Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober. It is a sober time. It is a time to think about the great sacrifice that Christ made for us. And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you in the revelation of Jesus Christ. And it's through the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made that we will have the opportunity for eternal life. As obedient children, not fashioned yourself according to the former lust of your ignorance. And so we're supposed to come away from our former ways as we're working and examining ourselves, and we're seeing where we fall short. But we want to continue, it says. But as that which is called you is holy, so be you holy in all manner of conversation. And so we're supposed to grow in holiness and righteousness. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Verse 16. So as we're growing and moving forward, we're taking in God's word. We're taking in the sincerity and truth. And we're becoming more holy in the eyes of God and in the eyes of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful, wonderful understanding of the plan for mankind and the blessings that each and every one of us has the opportunity to prepare for the days of Passover and the days of unleavened bread. One more area, and this is something that we're going to do for the rest of our lives. Point number 7, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Number 7, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Let's look at Matthew. I can't go anywhere without turning to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. So this is the 7th point, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Because each one is like a stepping stone, okay? And I'm going to review that in conclusion here. Seeking first the kingdom of God, in Matthew 33 it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And one of the greatest things is the kingdom of God. What a tremendous blessing to be able to be part of the kingdom of God that's coming. It's a wonderful, wonderful blessing that each and every one of us has the opportunity to look forward to. It's the great hope. It's what we're all looking forward to. It's what we can become. Working in the kingdom of God with Jesus Christ and God the Father. What a wonderful blessing to know that we must put that first and continue to seek that for the rest of our lives, whatever amount of time we have. Happy birthday, by the way. Just thought I'd throw that out there. Gladys had a birthday, for those who are wondering which one I'm referring to. So for the rest of our lives, we must be seeking the kingdom of God. Let's look at Luke 13. Luke 13, and we'll look at verse 24. There's so many scriptures in the Bible that we can refer to with every one of these points. I've only quoted a few scriptures. If you want to, as you're preparing for the days of unleavened bread, take these points and study for yourselves each one of these points for yourself. And look at the scriptures in the Bible. There's so many that we could refer to. But here I'm going to look at Luke 13, verse 24. Strive to enter into the strait gate. For many shall I shall say unto you, will seek to enter it. And there have been many individuals who have sought the kingdom of God. They had come to know and understand, and shall not be able, it says. So some will turn away from the entering into the kingdom of God. And that's sad to think that some have turned away. It says the love of many shall wax cold. And that's what happens. When individuals turn away, they become cold, cold-hearted. Many turn away from God completely. Some are struggling. Some are still going through the process of growing and overcoming and repenting. And so their points are still. But seeking the kingdom of God is what we must do. And we must enter the straight and narrow gate to get to the kingdom of God. We can't go the wide path that leads to destruction. We understand that. That's a hard road. But many follow that way. And so many are crisscrossing back and forth. Straight and narrow for a while, then over to the wide path, then back to the straight and narrow. Many people are just struggling. I mentioned that's why we need to examine ourselves. Are we struggling? Are we running back and forth between the two gates? If we are, then we have to look at ourselves and examine ourselves. That's part of the points that we need to do as we prepare. But more importantly, always put the kingdom of God first in our lives. Seek the kingdom of God first. And we shall be there if we're willing to do these points. One last scripture I want to refer to is Lamentations. Now, we don't turn to Lamentations very often. Lamentations chapter 3, that's after Jeremiah, if you're following in the Bible there. And I want to refer to verse 25. And this is in reference to seeking the kingdom of God. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 25. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him. And that is what we're doing, brethren. We're waiting for the kingdom to be established. We're waiting for him. To the soul that seeks him. And we are seeking with all our hearts and with all our soul and with all our might the kingdom. Number 26. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. That is what God expects of us. To patiently wait quietly for the return of Jesus Christ and the establishment of the kingdom of God. Brethren, these are seven simple points. And yes, they're complex too, in many ways. When we're striving to remove the physical leaven out of our lives, which we're commanded, we will see sometimes where we perhaps miss a crumb. I remember eating a donut one time on the Days of Unleavened Bread. It was the last day of unleavened bread. We were coming home. The sun was almost set. And we said, well, you know, we've got to get something to eat. And I don't know why we chose donuts. But see how easy it is to creep back into our lives. You get your mind off on other things. And things can sometimes pop back up. That's why removing the physical leaven is not easy. If you haven't started, brethren, start. Get on it. We have less than 2 weeks to prepare our houses and ourselves spiritually. Point number two, the spiritual leaven. We need to be examining ourselves and seeing what we need to overcome and change and grow. Point number three, repent when we do find leaven, spiritual leaven in our lives. We need to repent of that and ask God for forgiveness. And He will hear our prayers. He knows that we're frail. He knows that we stumble and fall. And we know sometimes we offend people that we don't even realize. So brethren, go to your brother. If somebody has hurt you or personally done anything that offended you, don't hold it inside. There's been individuals that years later said, you offended me. Why didn't you tell me when I did it? Again, anybody, if any of us has hurt any of us, go to each other and repent of that. Number four, acknowledge Christ's sacrifice. We have to acknowledge Christ's sacrifice. He did the ultimate sacrifice for each and every one of us. What a wonderful, wonderful blessing to know that Jesus was willing to take us down from the stake and put himself back up as a sacrifice for us. Because that's where we should be as sinners. We should be up on that stake, not Christ. But because of his love and compassion, he was willing to do that. And then number five, accept that ultimate sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us. Tell him how much we appreciate what he did for us. And that's what the whole Passover service is all about. And the Days of Unleavened Bread, acknowledging the ultimate sacrifice that Christ made and telling him how much we appreciate and we accept that sacrifice. It's hurtful to know that we hurt Christ, but we have to accept that sacrifice. Point number six, put on the sincerity of truth in God's way of the unleavened bread. And that's what we'll be doing as we're taking unleavened bread. We'll be taking in the truth of God. And that'd be the continual stepping stone that we move forward and seek, number seven, the kingdom of God. Brethren, we have been truly blessed to know the plan of God. Mankind does not understand what God's doing. When they see the world and they see gas prices going up to almost $5 a gallon, $3.95 I just saw this morning, and it was just $3.77 a couple weeks ago. We were talking about, Linda and I were saying, we have a 15-passenger van. If times get so tough, we may have to carpool, brethren. We may have to all squeeze in a 15-passenger van and come to church together. If that's what it comes down to, in order to continue to keep the things that we've been taught, to hold on to the values that God showed us. Whatever it takes, brethren, we must continue to go forward. And that's what the days are. They're moving forward.
So now as we prepare for the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread, you have a list of 7 items to work on. You have less than 2 weeks to work on them. But brethren, I want to encourage you, continue to move forward. Do these points. Seek in your life what you need to do. And God will be well pleased with each and every one of us. And we will have the opportunity of being in His kingdom.